Happy Thursday, May 28th, 2020. Try something a little bit different for the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. A lot of stuff breaking right now in Minneapolis. I'm going to try to go to some video. This is going to get crazy. Mixing it up. I think I just go full screen, so bear with me. Here we go. It's chaos in Minneapolis and other cities too. I think LA, we'll check in on LA right now. Let's see. Not right now, but in a couple minutes. Might get a little echo here, but that's okay. This is like full screen. This is chaos. Looting. This is looting. Big time. It's like they're polishing off a target. What else do we have? Of course, I had to put in my smart-ass comments. They're looting. I put in Dr. Fauci recommends staying 6 feet apart while looting. Even while looting. Here's another one. Let's look at this one. Look at these cats. Took like one, two, three, four. Was that five? Is that five flat screens they got? Oh, man. They have a dolly and a pallet. Those cats were prepared, man. Of course, this is where the gentleman Floyd was killed by a Minneapolis cop 2 days ago. That one, that one I commented on. Violation of the CDC limits, one flat screen TV per looter. CDC guidelines. They have guidelines for everything else. Look at this. People say, hey, where are the cops? Where are the cops at? This is the police station. They're rolling it. That's the third precinct police station there. Well, these guys wanted to play with fire. I've been telling people for a while they're playing with fire. Playing with fire. This is all coming out of a Fox reporter. Hey, this is pretty cool with the video, right? Just learned how to do this today. So where's this Fox reporter? Out of Fox 9 in Minneapolis. Let's go to her page and check it out. See what she has going on. She has the videos we showed. And then look at this one. This one's impressive, man. Cats are coming out of, is that the drive-thru? I think they made their own drive-thru. That's intense, man. Those guys just, what? Oh, man, look, here we go. This is like a mob scene in the streets. Look at this. It's going to heat up. Obviously, it's already heating up. Here come the police. They got coming down the street. It's going to be a long night in Minneapolis, Minnesota. People say, where are the police? Here they are. They're on top of the police station. They don't want to go down in the street. Not so tough now, are you? Well, that cop had his knee on that guy's neck. They were tough. Now they're shooting tear gas from the roof. Look at these guys up on the roof. They're not down in the police station. They're bum rushing the police station. Wow. It's getting serious. A couple more things here. This is happening right now as we speak. This is what happens when you let things get out of control. You let things get out of control. This is what happens. It's bad. Let me go back to my page. My Twitter page. My Twitter feed's here on the screen. Yeah, this is We had something in L.A. was happening. Hold on. This is live in L.A., some demonstrators. I think they're closed down the highway.
And then the same thing happened to a second CHP cruiser. That's the one with the skateboard now wedged in the back windshield. So two CHP cruisers.
It's starting to heat up in Los Angeles.
Protester thrown to the ground as the first one sped away. Now paramedics on the scene down here. But as you can see, they're waving signs.
Sorry for the echo. We'll figure the audio stuff out when I get a little bit more equipment. Wow. Is that a highway? Is that a highway? Taking up the whole highway. Oh, man, I hope you're not trying to get anywhere in L.A. tonight. Well, I guess nobody. Well, yeah, there they are. Wow, it's backed up. Yeah. Like L.A. doesn't have enough problems. Now the whole highway's closed down.
They had their bullhorns out again, much of the same of what we've seen, Black Lives Matter, flags and signs. It turned into essentially a march up Main Street and then took a turn onto Los Angeles Street. They did a loop around the federal building over there and then made their way back towards the freeway. They had an opportunity to get on the freeway a little bit earlier, but LAPD was guarding the entrance. They were very respectful, and they bypassed the LAPD, just continued on Los Angeles Street very peacefully as they continued their...
That's what's happening in L.A. Let's do a quick Minneapolis situation here. See what pops. Minneapolis police officer. Yeah, we looked up that cop. He's been involved in a lot of shootings and stuff. That cop was involved in a lot of police shootings. That's pretty cool. I've never seen that before. They captured the tear gas and they threw it in a bottle. Wow. This is a new wrinkle in crowd disbursement. The police shoot the tear gas. Here it comes. They scoop it up like it's a baseball, like it's a ground ball. And they put it inside a container. Looks like maybe there's dry ice in there or something. Looks like they contain it. Or there's a liquid in there of some type. Oh, man, these guys are ready. These guys are organized. I've never seen that. Fielding tear gas and pepper gas like a ground ball. Sign that guy up. Sign that guy up. That's a little taste of what's going on. It's more target getting raided. Wow, that's an interesting look from the inside here. Let's take a look. Oh, they're going inside. Oh, my God. Look what they did to this place. Oh, man. They smoked it. Wow. There's nothing left. Holy. Yet. Wow. Okay. Well, you're getting a good glimpse of what's going on, folks. Wow. Before we start reading the news, that's pretty cool. With the video. I mean, it's not cool that they're tearing a city apart. But you know what? I said this was going to happen. I'm not trying to be like a soothsayer or something. But this is what happens. I said this for like 5 weeks now. Talking about New York City and other places. The street does not forget. It's very simple. These other bird brains in the news media have no idea how to predict things. Because they don't understand what's going on Main Street and in the street. I do. I was the dummy they sent out to cover these things. There were subways blowing up and other things. They said, get more down in the New York City subway and find out what's going on. People's coming out of there like severely burned. Yeah, get more down there. He'll figure it out. All the other reporters are sitting at their desks like, oh, well, I don't want to go there. So, wow, that was pretty intense 10 minutes. And guess what? And understanding what's going to happen tonight, it's still daylight there. Wait till the sun goes down. And they break out the fires, right? And when the sun goes down, it's time to start burning some stuff. That's usually how it works. The police are marching down the street. I'm still looking at some of these videos. Here, I'll throw this one up for you guys. Let me see. It's a reporter here. Bicycle police. They put the bike. Wow, they're peppering that street with tear gas, man. That looks bad. This guy's ready to spray. He's ready to spray the news media. Hey, why not? You guys killed a guy in broad daylight. Who cares if they're the news media? Should have a mask on. This reporter should have a mask on. She should do herself a favor and get a mask. The hell was that? Oh, that's the original clip art. Yeah, guess what, guys? It's daytime. There's going to be big trouble there tonight. Big trouble. Big trouble. Already is big trouble. The cops have lost control. I wouldn't go out in the street. There's a lot of people out there. They look pretty pissed. Yeah. Pretty good shopping deals going on right there. Get some things marked down. Like I said, that's one good. That's one of the first good reasons I've seen to wear a mask. I have to be a smartass. I don't know what it is. It's just internal. Pardon me for being a perpetual professional smartass. Okay, let's do some news. And you can see those videos and what we're looking at on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. And I will keep this feed open. Let me go to this feed real quick, and I'll keep this feed open while we're doing this in case something else breaks, because you never know. Never know what's going to break. Let me see. The Fox reporter seems to have the best stuff going on. So we'll see if she has anything else. Okay. Little video twist there. You also notice a change in my appearance on the video. I won't tell anybody. You figure it out. Very noticeable change. Change of pace. No, I didn't shave my head, and I don't have a mohawk. I had one in college when I played college football. I had an arrow. That was cool. When I was a freshman. And you would think that would, like, keep the ladies away. Didn't keep the ladies away. They actually kind of liked it. I thought I was Joe Strummer. Okay. First headline. Democrats are actively rooting for economic collapse. In an article titled "The General Election Scenario That Democrats Are Dreading," Politico reported that multiple Biden campaign officials and Democratic strategists are dismayed at the possibility of an economic boom in the months before the presidential election. The coronavirus pandemic caused much of the country to shut down, which has led to the highest number of people filing for unemployment since the Great Depression. Let me adjust this mic, and I pardon if there is a twang noise. Democrats who have led the charge, forcing people to lose their jobs and plummet the country's economy, were hoping the economic downturn would get them back into the White House. But Jason Furman, one of the Obama administration's top economists, losing my mind, threw cold water on their hopes during a Zoom conference call. Instead of validating Democratic hopes, Furman said, "We are about to see the best economic data we've seen in the history of this country." The conference call included officials from both parties, including former cabinet secretaries and Federal Reserve chairs. Furman's counterintuitive pitch has caused some Democrats, especially Obama alumni around Washington, to panic. "This is my big worry," said a former Obama White House official who is still close to the former president. Asked about the level of concern among top party officials, he said, "It's high, 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 high." Just like most of the Obama White House. Getting that wacky tobacco from the good stuff from Hawaii. Furman said the economic collapse tied to the coronavirus pandemic was unlike the Great Depression or the Great Recession, after which recovery was slow. Furman predicted this economic downturn was more like what happens after a natural disaster, which is followed by a quick recovery. Furman said the data already suggests this to be, you know, reading this guy Furman, he's not related, but I'm watching these things unfold in the street in Minneapolis and L.A., and I start thinking of another Furman. Link back to those riots. You know who I'm talking about. And when you think you've made leaps and bounds in society, not so fast. Oh, that reporter from Fox said she got removed. She got removed. She was told to get out. That's probably by Fox. Like the crew, you know, they got the truck and the crew's watching it back at control. And they're like, "Get out of there." You know why? It's going to get dark. I remember back in the day when they sent us out to stuff like this and there were problems. It got real, real dicey when the sun went down. Never can tell. Of course, Newark, New Jersey is a little bit different than Minneapolis, but anything can happen at any time out there in the street. So I'll get off her page and monitor another page. Let me just put this there real quick in case anything happens. Keep an eye on it. Oh, I anticipate to be fireworks tonight, but maybe not right this moment. If something breaks, we'll cover it. News story. Taxpayers paid to develop remdesivir, but will have no say when Gilead sets the price. Cha-ching! Everybody going to get their piece of the stock price. It's all about the money with the vaccine. The drug that buoyed expectations for a coronavirus treatment and drew international attention for Gilead Sciences. Remdesivir started as a reject. Could still be a fucking reject, bro. You know, who knows? And also ran in the search for antiviral drugs. Its path to relevance did not begin until Robert Jordan cleared it. A Gilead scientist at the time, Jordan convinced the company 7 years ago to let him assemble a library of 1,000 cast-off molecules in a search for... You know what? I don't give a fuck about Robert Jordan. And I don't necessarily care about Gilead. I mean, the stuff I'm hearing behind the scenes is these guys are a little bit shaky, Gilead. We'll have something on that next week. Coming from our FBI boys and some other folks, some other investigators. So let's just cruise through this knowing that most of it's probably bullshit. But I think I owe you the to set that up. Where's this from? The Houston Chronicle. Another rag sheet. To make progress, Gilead needed help from U.S. taxpayers. Like all these companies do. We all get milked. We don't even know it. We don't even know how much money they steal from us. Lots of help. Three federal health agents. And it's always Fauci behind it. We'll get you tax money just to make sure we get a piece of the pie when you make tens of billions of dollars. These guys are bad news. Three federal health agencies were deeply involved in remdesivir's development every step of the way, providing tens of millions of dollars of government research support. Yeah, but are you going to get any of the stock price? No. You ain't going to get nothing. Now that big government role has set up a political showdown over pricing and access. Despite the heavy subsidies, federal agencies have not asserted patent rights to Gilead's drugs because they're fucking stupid. Potentially a blockbuster therapy worth billions of dollars. That means Gilead will have few constraints other than political pressure when it sets its price in coming weeks. So the stupid fucking government takes our money, puts it into research and development for these robots, and then they don't assert any patent rights to this particular drug. They do with a lot of other drugs. Great. Thanks, Fauci. How much are you getting on the back door, Fauci? And Redfield and all you crooks? How much are you getting in your offshore accounts? Two other non-profit watchdog groups, Knowledge Ecology International and Public Citizen, also have documented the large taxpayer-funded contributions toward the drug. Public Citizen estimates public investment at a minimum of $70 million. Double it. $150 million. Easy. Thomas Paine dollars. Gilead has acknowledged the large role of government agencies in remdesivir's development, but there's not even proof this shit works, by the way. This is more junk science. We'll get into that next week, but just keep all this in mind. These guys aren't fucking Boy Scouts. It's coming from the FBI. We'll get into it because we're developing it. Blah, 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 remdesivir, blah, 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 fucking Gilead, this, that, and the other thing. Everybody, it goes on and on and on for pages and pages. I don't know why they, well, you know what? They don't know what I'm working on. I don't tell these guys what I'm working on, right? I just work on it, and then they say, hey, what do you got? I said, I got something coming. Don't worry about it. I keep things very close to the vest. I've learned the hard way. Keep your mouth shut until you put it out there. New headline, Fed Beige. Well, let's do a Minneapolis check while we're sitting here. I don't see anything else happening there yet, but again, it's dusk. It's going to be interesting to keep an eye on. Fed Beige Book. Many workers don't want to come back to their jobs. Mass unemployment that has accompanied the coronavirus pandemic has been compounded by people who don't want to come back to work, the Federal Reserve said Wednesday in its periodic summary of the national economy. Do they even have jobs to go back to? There's some jobs out in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, you got guides. Guys are loading up flat screens on their own pallet. These dudes are ready, man. They brought their own pallet and their own dolly to the riots and the looting. What's next? You just back the truck up to the loading dock. Beep, beep, beep. Yeah, those dudes are fumbling for and fighting for crumbs out front, but we just backed the truck in. with the unemployment rate through April at a post-World War II record of 14.7. It's higher than that. With 20.5 million layoffs during the month, workers are reluctant to head back to their jobs for a number of reasons, the central bank noted in its Beige Book report. Business leaders citing challenges in bringing employees back to work, including workers' health concerns, limited access to child care, and generous unemployment insurance benefits were the main reasons. Although many contacts expressed hope that overall activity would pick up as businesses reopened, the outlook remained highly uncertain, and most contacts were pessimistic about the potential pace of recovery. So that's that. Here's something crossed out. Mailman charged with attempted election fraud changed mail-in ballots that were given out due to pandemic, feds say. That's what I'm talking about, okay? I understand voter fraud is, like, a big issue, but this guy, I think, changed, like, 5 votes, okay? The feds are on him now. The Clintons have stolen billions of dollars from you, by the way, because you're subsidizing their schemes with their tax-free bullshit charity. It's estimated they basically swindled $2.5 billion out of you. That's not even the money they stole from other people. That's just the tax liability, the tax obligations that they welched on, that they schemed the government on. But the feds are worried about a guy. I think we're talking about 4 or 8 ballots. They went after this guy, this mailman, because he fucked up. He did something with 8 voting ballots. All right? But don't worry about the Clintons, and don't worry about Bill Gates and stuff like that. But the mailman, you know, whew, get him. They staked this dude out. The FBI was all over him, and these the bottom feeders. I call them the bottom feeders, the postal inspectors. Some real geniuses there. So anyway, that's crossed out because I know what they did. They did the story. They prepped the story and they saw the dude had like 5 ballots and the feds went after him. They're probably like, what? We can't give this story to him. He'll read halfway through and snap. Horowitz, new study. Lockdowns destroy nearly twice as many years of life as the coronavirus. 4 professors with backgrounds ranging from medicine to economics attempted to quantify the number of lives lost from the devastation of the lockdown itself. Using health and labor data as well as various various tables, they projected 65,000 lives lost per month of lockdown in the U.S., greater than the loss from the virus. How many times have we heard that the cure is worse than the disease? That number was calculated. Guys, there's a lot of really smart people that are repeating this theme, from Nobel laureates to all types of prize winners in science and letter winners and things like that. I don't know. At some point, it's a little lopsided. All the other people besides these idiots in the White House coronavirus task force are telling us, but it is what it is. Sometimes the bus driver is drunk and you're just along for the ride. The number of 65,000 lives lost per month of a lockdown was calculated by dividing the estimated $1.1 trillion lost from economic productivity per month of the lockdown, divided by 17 million because the best estimates predict 1 life lost from suicide, alcohol or drug abuse, or stress-induced illness per 17 million lost. Okay, that makes sense. See, these are numbers that have been figured out unlike these models that they had. Oh, this is going on. Oh, that's going on. The models. 2 million people are going to die. Like, yeah, how did you come to that? Don't worry about how we came to it. Shut up. Trust us. Okay? We're not really doctors. We just have PhD. We're not medical doctors, but trust us. Just trust us. These financial losses have been falsely portrayed as purely economic, wrote the four professors. To the contrary, we calculate that these policies will cause devastating non-economic consequences that will total millions of accumulated years of life lost in the United States, far beyond what the virus itself has caused. The four authors were Scott Atlas of Stanford University, Hoover's Institution, John Burge of the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business, Ralph Keeney of Duke University, and Alexander Lipton of the Jerusalem Business School. For every 1,000 lives lost to the virus, the corresponding 1,000 lives lost to lockdown will destroy exponentially more life years. Because the median age of those who die from the virus is 80, while the median age for deaths caused by the lockdown, those who die due to suicide, substance abuse, despair, and poverty, is much lower. I'm no Nobel laureate, but I said this. This has been a recurring theme here, and you've been along for to witness it on the journey here with us together for weeks. I talk about the GDP, when it declines, what happens anywhere in the world, not just the United States, anywhere in the world. And by the way, these issues, although they target these scientists and doctors are targeting and using the United States as a control for their study, this theme will play out globally. Despair, poverty, substance abuse, suicide. That's what happens when the GDP tanks. I don't even want to say tanks. If a GDP is down like 5% across the board in a country or globally, that's considered a disaster on an annual basis, okay? The GDP in the last quarter in the United States tanked 42%. That's not tanking. That's a spiral. That's a skyscraper inferno. So it's different from tanking. That's a full-fledged nightmare. We've already seen that doctors in Northern California are reporting more than a year's worth of suicides in just 4 weeks. We talked about that. We had that on here. Knox County, Tennessee, experienced 9 suicides in just one 48-hour period in March. Jesus. On the other hand, there have only been 5 COVID-19 deaths in Knox County over 9 weeks. So the entire lockdown, 5 people died of COVID-19, and in just 48 hours, the number of suicides doubled the number of COVID deaths in 9 weeks. Also, the death, you can't lock people up. Guys, I'm not like patting myself on the back because it's just like something I had to do because it's just life. But I did 400 days of house arrest. It fucks you up. It messes you up if you don't know how to handle it. The difference here this round is when I was doing that and the feds had me locked down and stuff, my son was off. One son was in school, off in school. The other guy was off playing hockey in juniors. And my wife was working, trying to hold everything together. I was living like vicariously through them. They were out doing their thing. I couldn't be part of it and stuff, but they were out living and I was like, cool. You know, I had a lot because I was recruiting. Colleges were recruiting my son. So that was like a full-time job. I had to worry about these dopey feds, keeping them in line because they have their thumb on you. And I had to worry about my other son in school. And then trying to somehow work enough magic not to lose our house and things like that. But my family was out doing stuff. But now it's like everybody's locked down. It's a different vibe. It's way more stranger. And it's I would say it's more devastating if you don't know how to handle it. So I've been trying to keep folks balanced around here, but it's hard. So people need to interact with other people, and not by wearing a mask. Go out and talk to people. Everybody's got a mask on. They're like robots. These fucking morons in the government, they were going to save us. Remember? This isn't about saving anybody. This is about controlling you. You need to understand what's going on here. Since you've been listening to me, 5 weeks ago I said there are going to be riots. Something's going to happen. Riots have started. Hopefully they stop. I don't think they will. I think they're going to franchise this shit out in other cities now. And again, I called it a perfect storm, and you're going to see this play out, I think, all summer. It's going to be, I think there are dark days ahead, like I say, but know what I'm talking about. It takes a while for people to come around, I understand it. Also, the death toll of the economic consequences of the shutdowns is just one piece of the pie. As the authors note, stroke patient evaluations are down 40%. Nearly half of cancer patients have missed treatments. 2/3 to 3/4 of routine cancer screenings have been delayed. Nearly 85% fewer living donor transplants have occurred, and more than half of childhood vaccinations are not being performed. That last part might not be a bad thing. They estimate that the total years of lost life per month of shutdown from these missed treatments and diagnoses are 500,000. What? In total, they estimate that the lockdown, that's like a cynical Jesus Christ, what have we gotten ourselves into laugh. That's not like a humor laugh. When I do that little laugh, people are like, I don't understand why you're laughing. This is not a laughing matter. That's like, this is fucked up laugh. Just so you know, in total, they estimate that the lockdown over the entire duration has caused the loss of 1.5 million life years, as compared to 800,000 life years from the virus itself. So they're saying double. We lose more life years, double the life years, basically, than compared to the virus. Yoram Loss, that's a dude's name. Sounds like something you'd yell at somebody after a game. Yoram Loss, man. When you win. Former Director General of Israel's Ministry of Health said in an interview with online media outlet Spiked. I'm not kidding around. And nothing about this virus can justify the destruction of people's lives. You ain't seen nothing yet, Yoram. Yoram ain't seen nothing yet. Wait a couple months. In the first epidemic in history, it is the first epidemic in history, which is accompanied by another epidemic, the virus of the social networks, said the scientist. These new media have brainwashed entire populations. What you get is fear and anxiety and the inability to look at real data. And therefore, you have all the ingredients of monstrous hysteria. Yeah, let's take a peek at some of the, we just took a peek earlier at some of the monstrous hysteria. At least these cats have been trying to turn a profit out in the street. I mean, I'm saying that facetiously, but, you know, guys, we talked about the police thing, right? When you behave like this, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And then, you know, that's exacerbated by locking people down for no good reason. And then lying to them at almost every turn, including these clowns in the White House. Coronavirus Task Force, who are basically criminals. We've painted a good picture of that, and it's made it to the Oval Office, thank God. Oh, what's going on here? Police are, They're sending more cops in. Sending more cops in. It's going to heat up tonight, like I said. Oh, man. Wait a second. This is, the cops better, you know, the cops, oh, man, this is usually a bad sign when they, I got to show you this video. Hold on. Let me put the full screen here. This one's crazy. Hold on. You got to watch the beginning of it. They just keep on driving. The cops are rolling. They're like, we're not going back there. Yeah. I've been in these situations, man. You don't. You got to watch. Things can escalate quickly. Wow, that was something else. The cops kept rolling. They didn't want any piece of that. Because they'd end up probably, you know, who knows? You know, they got themselves in a real bad situation out there. And that kind of, I mean, we've been talking about 4 or 5 weeks that that kind of stuff could be headed for New York City with the way they've been behaving toward people and citizens in the street. And I got a message right before I went on the air. Reminding me of the things I say, that the one thing I've been saying is the street doesn't forget. Even if it doesn't react right away, the street collectively doesn't forget. They always have their day. Now, this looks like something in another country. I have to show you this. This looks like something you would see like back in the day in the 60s here or in like Beirut. I'm going to watch this. Hold on. I'll switch to in the middle. This is Minneapolis right now. Here we go. Let's see if it goes back to the beginning. Wow. This is something you would see in other parts of the world, not here. With the cops just rifling grenades, smoke grenades, tear gas, pepper grenades. That's getting serious. Wow. I'll keep monitoring. That's wow, that's intense. New headline. Wow. That's a little freaky to watch that. Don't worry, the FBI is investigating. They want to see if the guy's civil rights were violated. Watch the video. I think it's going to be the shortest investigation in the history of the FBI. We think maybe his rights were violated. He died in the street. Not so fast, guys. Okay, we have to put a federal investigation together. This could take years. Fucking morons. You see the story we had on Ray today? And the podcast out, the episode 25. Listen to that. Ray, can I do this? Hold on. I think I can do this. This would be kind of cool. Yeah, hold on. Oh, look at that. That's fancy on the video. Top FBI brass rat out Ray and the bombshells are epic. FBI director who presided over multiple Russian FBI probes has millions in cash invested in Russia. Talked about that last night on More Pain on patreon.com/truepundit. And we get into it way more here on episode 25 of the podcast. And we go into it. Guy's got $5 million floating around in Europe and Russia. The director of the FBI, the guy who presided over multiple Russian. It says right here, look, we pulled up. You guys can see this, I think, right? We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants here, but, you know, when the grenades start flying in other cities, what the hell? If I screw up here, it's not as bad as what's going on there. Ray never removed himself from presiding over the FBI's Russia collusion investigation of President Trump. The Mueller probe into Russia interference in the 2016 election, Russian allegations in the bogus Steele dossier, Russian ties to the General Mike Flynn investigation, Russian advertising during the 2016 election, and criminal FBI cases involving and targeting Russian nationals and entities. But he's got all this money and $5 million of Ray's personal wealth tied up in conglomerates with Russian ties and beyond. That was interesting. That's cool how we could do that. It's going to change things around on the video. We're going to have some fun now. We can play some videos. We can go back and forth. More interactive as I've learned my way around the street here. It's good stuff. And I will, let me get this back in here. So if anything else pops in Minneapolis, we can take a, we are monitoring things in real time to make sure if anything happens, we can go right to it so that you get it. It's not real time, obviously, but it's better than what we had before. Okay, so next headline, Twitter exec. This might be the last. Is this the last story? They have a bunch crossed out here. I don't know what happened. This can't be the last story. Oh, they crossed a lot of stuff out. They must know that I was going to lose it. Well, we'll scan that too. I want to see what they did. Twitter executive in charge of effort to fact-check Trump has a history of anti-Trump posts and called McConnell a bag of farts. This is what you're getting on Twitter. Twitter's head of site integrity, Yoel Roth, boasts on his LinkedIn that he is in charge of developing and enforcing Twitter rules. This is the fucking asshole who's been messing with us for years. Like the one rule that led Twitter to slap a new misleading warning label on two of the president's tweets concerning nationwide mail-in balloting on Tuesday. However, Roth's own barrage of anti-Trump politically charged tweets seemingly calls into question whether he should be creating guidelines for the president and other Twitter users, especially when Twitter is under fire for its alleged left-wing bias. Alleged? Who wrote this fucking thing? Oh, Fox News. Oh, alleged left-wing bias. It was alleged. Ooh, yeah. Fox. Bunch of pussies over there. Call it like it is, you weirdos. I was just thinking about Geraldo Rivera. We ran in, my buddies and I and a bunch of people were out drinking in New York City one night. We ran into Geraldo was out getting some pizza with his wife, and he has a driver and like a bodyguard. And one of my buddies was like, "Hey, Geraldo, how you doing, man?" And he's like, "I'm a big fan. I love you." And Geraldo didn't acknowledge him. He like was like running to the car. This is just, it's kind of inside baseball, but I have to, he's running to like the car to get his wife in and stuff. Like he thinks like, I don't know, maybe he gets harassed all the time or something. And he didn't acknowledge the guy who said he was like a big fan. So my friend's like, you better run, man. We'll get you. He went from being a fan to like threatening the guy. And poor Geraldo was like speeding away. It's like, those guys are crazy. Those Irish pricks are over there. But I know Geraldo from back in the day when he was running a newspaper in Red Bank, New Jersey, bought a newspaper. He might still be running it. And they wanted me to come over there and work, and I was on my way up north. He was running a weekly, and I was at a weekly, and they wanted me to come write for them. But I said, I'm going to daily, boys. I'm moving up. Moving on up, George Jefferson style. this guy, Roth, right? The guy at Twitter. You should see the fact checker at Twitter. This guy's off the rails. Let's see what he's got going. Commentators, meanwhile, have argued that Trump's tweets on the risk of mail-in voting were not actually misleading. And the president accused Twitter of seeking to interfere in the upcoming election under the guise of a supposedly neutral fact-checking policy. Experts have said that a genuine absentee ballot fraud scandal is currently underway in New Jersey city council elections, for example. Hey, guys, Twitter, if you want to fact-check stuff, that makes you a publisher. That means you don't get the protection under the federal law of not being sued and things like that. And if you act as a publisher and you are a publisher, you're fair game legally. You dummies have crossed the line on this one. Even Facebook was smart enough to sub out their fact checking to a bunch of flunkies. They didn't handle it themselves. But you guys might have stepped in it this time. I think legally, from speaking with our lawyers, what I'm saying is absolutely 100% correct. They crossed the line and they might not be able to go back. We'll see how it works out. Whenever somebody says, we're going to make something better for you, we're from the government, we're going to make social media fair, I say, yikes. Just like you saved our lives from coronavirus. Yikes. Maybe don't mess with it at all. Roth has previously referred to Trump and his team as actual Nazis. Great. He's mocked Trump supporters by saying that we fly over those states that voted for a racist tangerine for a reason. And how old is this guy? 12? And called Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky a personality-free bag of farts. Yeah, you know, I don't know if I can argue with that. Why stop there? What else? Last August, Twitter suspended McConnell's Twitter account, prompting the GOP to threaten to cut off advertising on the site until Twitter relented. In September 2016, Roth tweeted, I've never donated to a presidential campaign before, but I just gave $100 to Hillary for America. We can't fuck around anymore. Wow. Congratulations, idiot. Hillary drank that $100. Drank your $100 away the first night. With her, who knows what she's drinking. It probably varies between cognac and witch hazel. But that $100 was gone. She sucked that thing right down. Or Bill spent it. Something happened there. Also on January 22nd, 2017, Roth compared senior Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway to Nazi propagandist Joseph Goebbels. She doesn't look anything like Goebbels. Look, Kellyanne's from Philadelphia, and okay, you cross her, you might wish you were messing with Goebbels. Okay, let me just let people in on a little bit about Kellyanne and where she's from. You want to talk about Goebbels? This guy better watch who he's talking about. Kelly's grandfather. All right. Let me look this up. I want to get it right. I want to screw it up. And you guys can tweet. You guys can Google this. I'm just going to give you a name because I'm not going to besmirch Kellyanne. But you might want to Google this. Her late maternal grandfather, James DiNatale. DiNatale. Perhaps you've heard of him, or he's better known as Jimmy the Brute Natale. Okay. These guys are from like South Jersey, Philly. This dope at Twitter better. He might wish that he was messing with this Goebbels guy instead of Conway. Let's leave it at that. Have fun Googling that. Yoel says, anytime you ever got a guy who's, you know, his name sounds like something, a noise you make when you vomit, it's probably a guy who wasn't going to excel at sports very much. Yoel. How do you cheer for that kid at a game? You know what I mean? Get in there. Great play. What's the matter? You got a cough or something? You choking? That's my kid's name. Hey, call that guy for dinner. Jimmy. Time for dinner. Yoel says on his personal website that he received his PhD in communication from the University of Pennsylvania. He probably knows every single soy latte shop in Philly. Studying privacy and safety on gay social networks. These are kids that are fact-checking the President of the United States, remarked Heather Champion, a commentator on social media. Several of Roth's tweets were first resurfaced by the New York Post's John Levine early Wednesday morning. I don't know why that's relevant. So this guy is like got massive axes to grind all the way around. Doesn't like conservatives. Doesn't like the president. Doesn't like guys like me. And there's a lot of guys like me who are just like, come on. Just down to earth guys. You know, there's a lot of dudes out there that are pretentious and they don't like guys who tell like it is. And don't give other folks respect based on their PhD and their Ivy League. Big deal, Ivy League. That's it. 57 minutes, we're in. Let me do a quick check. What's going on in Minneapolis? Do a live check, see if we get any video. I don't know why LeBron James would pop up while you're searching for that, but hey. Helps if I spelled it right, I think. It's interesting to see what's going on. It's like the world is, by the summer, you know, the theme could be world on fire, man. Really could be. These little things that spark things. Like it looks like it's, looks like we're okay for now. Or I don't have internet, one or the other. Who knows what's going on in this house? So it's good stuff. We appreciate you guys checking us out on patreon.com/truepundit. You got to see some cool video tonight. Not cool in the sense of, well, it was the technology advancements here on the show. We're growing by leaps and bounds, obviously, as here it is. It just came back. If it keeps going like this, Fox is going to have to get one of these hobos from New York off their ass and have to get them out in Minnesota. That'll be uncomfortable. they set up like the election night booth, you know what I mean? with the riots as a backdrop. This is Brett Baer live from the riot. Those guys would be hiding, be cowering inside of some kind of a news van. Man, I remember when we were covering Flight 800 in East Mauritius, New York, and we were out like, it was hot. It was, then it would rain and it was like really hot. It was like a monsoon. It was like a jungle. Poison ivy all over me. Other reporters had like poison ivy too, and we were just miserable. And then here he comes. Brian Gumble steps out of this like $400,000 news truck. It wasn't a van. It was a truck. And he's like, hey, guys. We're like, Gumble, don't you ever talk to us again. They will find you in the marsh. Comes out looking like $1 million, you know. He opens the door. There's like a mist from the air conditioning meeting the humidity outside. And he emerges like some kind of a hero, like, Gumble, you're close to getting rolled. Anyway, we appreciate the support, and thanks a lot, and we'll be back tomorrow. And we had a good podcast today, episode 25. Check that out. And a good interview about Alan Dershowitz and how Jason Goodman got him to basically become completely unraveled. And basically what I think was a career-ending interview. I don't think that guy has any credibility left. So thanks a lot. Take care. See you again.